is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Steve-O.
No way!
Man, it's been too long.
Our board sucks.
Yeah, I noticed that. I was like, oh, nothing in the right ear.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, good to be back with you.
Good morning. Welcome to Shock Therapy Live. If this is your first time hearing the program,
then you are a failure.
Or they're new to static radio.
Most likely a failure.
Yes. So get to mystaticradio.com where you can get all our past podcasts. But it is our one-hour call-in show centered around you and your questions. Maybe you read something this week that you're kind of confused on. Maybe
don't ask those questions.
Got a relationship question that you're like, what the heck? This person sucks. Who knows?
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Yeah, if you've never listened to the show or it's been a long time, we want to keep in mind that this is questions about personal life more than theology questions. Remember, you'd open up your diaries, as the intro said. You ask these personal questions. We've answered questions before in the past about masturbation, stem cell research, pornography,
cutting,
homosexuality. You know, we've answered a multitude of questions. So that's the kind of things we want. We want you to ask real questions, real life questions, things that you might be scared or ashamed to ask at the church. These are the kind of things we want you to ask.
We're unshockable, dude. We've heard many questions that were like, okay. And you know what? That's what we're here for. We want to be unshockable listeners. So if you got an issue, you got something going on, and if you would like to keep it anonymous, we have an email address for you. It's studio@mystaticradio.com if you don't want to be on the air, because sometimes these questions get really personal and it's hard to discuss. But we'd love to hear from you anyway. So studio@mystaticradio.com. You can chime in that way and just hit us up.
Yeah. You know, I've always wondered, because I always do this when I do counseling. I always tell people I'm an unshockable listener. You can tell me anything and I won't be shocked. And I always use this. I say, you can come to my office and tell me that you just killed someone and I'm not going to be shocked. You know, I'll give you the true biblical, you know, ideas about that, but I'm not going to be shocked. But I've always wondered what I would do if someone actually came to my office and said, yeah, I just killed somebody.
Right.
How I would respond to that?
Yeah.
If you killed someone and you call us, we're going to call the cops. I'm just going
to
tell you
that.
Well,
I mean, we have to. Wouldn't you have to?
But if it's anonymous, what do you do? How do you respond to that?
I don't know.
So a guy with a smoky, dark voice called us.
Yeah.
He's bad.
Yeah.
He lives somewhere in the New Mexico area. He's a bad guy. What kind of a description? He sounds like he has a mustache, but I'm not sure. He has a mustache kind of a voice.
There's nothing wrong with stashes, bro.
Most likely pretty dark yellow teeth.
Oh.
I can't be 100% positive, but I'm thinking mustache and dark yellow teeth.
You're
maybe
like,
missing
is this
a couple.
Like for a composite sketch for the police?
I don't know.
Their voice.
His voice.
Yeah.
So they like, I don't know how they profile voices. But.
Yeah, I don't know. 505-338-3700 is the phone number, and the phone lines are open. You can also send us in an email if you would like, studio@mystaticradio.com, or Facebook us, facebook.com/mystaticradio. Now, we got a question in the 8 o'clock hour. A gentleman called. We took it off air, and he wanted to be anonymous. I try to get as much information as possible because it was a very interesting question, to say the least, and but I definitely wanted to tackle it. So hopefully, homie's listening.
Did he sound like he had a mustache?
He did not.
Oh,
so
well, then he might be trustworthy.
This gentleman calls in and basically says, "Okay, he, I don't know if he's in a mentorship program or what, but he mentors this kid, this student, this high school student, and takes care of the kid, helps out with the kid." Pays for the kid's schooling so that he can go to this private Christian school, does a lot of things for the kid, it sounds like, and has some sort of agreement with the mom where she pays him. This woman has racked up quite a bill with this guy. Now, there's not anything weird. It's not like, hey, this is baby mama and this is really my kid or something like that.
So we think.
Just like some form of mentorship. And is trying to just be a positive role model in this kid's life. And in the meantime, I guess the mom, not really walking with the Lord, doesn't really have a concern or care, which is another reason why this guy wants to be in this kid's life. But it's to a point where he says she owes him a considerable amount of money. And so he's in this weird conundrum of, do I try and collect on this money with the understanding that I'm probably going to not be in this kid's life anymore, but I won't be broke? Or do I just have to try and forgive this debt and continue to mentor this kid?
Man, I'm just going to say it sounds weird. Sounds super, super fishy to me.
Right.
It's like, so there's this guy and this girl, and they're not together, but, I mean, just hypothetically, he right. pays for this kid's school.
Right.
I mean, it just sounds super fishy to me. But,
right.
but this is what I would say. If it truly is a good Samaritan thing where you're like, man, I mentor this kid, and I've paid for this school, it sounds fishy to me that you collect money on that. It's like, I just imagine, I think of like, people that support, like the Invisible Children, or people that support, what's those,
yeah, like,
the programs?
Calcutta Mercy Mission, or Compassion International.
Compassion International, where you adopt a kid.
Yeah.
Imagine, like, paying for this kid's school, food, and then, like, 5 years later, coming up to the parents and saying, hey, so I've paid this kid's school for the past 5 years. I think you owe me, like,
$500.
Right.
It like, was that's like,
nothing
dude, that's
compared
like 30
to what
bucks
I paid.
A month.
It's like, it just seems strange to me.
Right.
So I guess I really want to know more details as far as what is that? What kind of an agreement did you make with this mom?
Right.
That you're like, hey, I'll invest into your kid if you pay me money.
Right.
It's like, that just sounds strange. It sounds like mafioso status.
No,
it sounds like someone's like this guy's like, hey, I'll protect this establishment, but you got to pay me a little money
right.
each month. You know what I mean? Like one of those kind of things. Well, what if I don't pay? Well, then you might find that something's gonna go bump in the night.
There
you know, I don't know. It just sounds a little strange to me. I guess I would say if you truly are doing it as a good Samaritan, that you really want to mentor this kid, then that should be something that you do for free. And as far as paying for his school, if that's the thing where you said, you know, I want to pay for this kid's school, then that should be something from the bottom of your heart. And you shouldn't have that mom pay money, because obviously if the mom could do it by herself, she would have been doing it.
Yeah.
So if it's truly a thing where it's a good Samaritan, then I would forgive the debt and let it go. If there's something else fishy behind this situation that you're not quite telling us, and it truly is something that, you know, it would warrant getting a court involved, then that's a different story. But from what I hear, I think that being a good Samaritan, you do it without the promise or the mindset of getting paid back. You
right.
do it from the bottom of your heart. You know, I think about the Good Samaritan in the story of the Bible.
Yeah.
When he released that guy from his house, he didn't say, hey, so here's the medical cost, the food cost, the housing cost. I know you got robbed by those thieves and you got kicked by Pharisees, but hey, here's the money that you owe me. You
right.
know, he did it from the bottom of his heart and he did it for free. So that would be my mentality in the situation. But again, sounds a little strange.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. We are kicking off this show, taking over the airwaves in the 9 o'clock hour every single Wednesday. If you have a question,
I'm drinking from about a 6 ounce kid's thermos right now that has Mickey Mouse and Pluto and Goofy on it.
Amazing.
Just so you know.
Shock Therapy Live, hello.
Hey, yeah, I want to, the rest of the story, Paul Harvey.
Oh, yes.
He has borrowed money from me.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
This is the gentleman. Okay.
That's the problem. She says, hey, can I borrow $20 for gas because I can't this and the other. The other day I talked to her and said, hey, you've borrowed money. Well, I don't owe you that much. And if you come after me, you can't do anything more with my kid.
Huh.
Everything I've done with the kid, you know, $10,000 a year, I don't care.
Okay.
I've given that. It's every time she says, can I borrow? So I told her, I said, it's one thing saying, hey, can I get some gas because I'm taking the kid to school across town.
Yeah.
It's another thing, hey, can I borrow? She owes me about $6,000 from, hey, can I borrow?
And have you kept track of every time she's asked to borrow money then?
Yes.
Okay.
The accountant at my job said, hey, when she borrows $20, go to the bank that day or the next day, pull that amount out of the ATM and write it down, this is for this amount. Why?
Yeah.
And she said, well, you can get receipts from anywhere and just write my name on them.
Yeah. Yeah, this is what I would say. Honestly, in this kind of a situation, it really gets sticky when, you know, and this is what, as far as borrowing money, when it's in increments over a long period of time, hey, can I borrow $5? I mean, I just know personally, I do that all the time. Like, I'm out to eat and I didn't bring my wallet. Hey, dude, can I borrow $5 to eat? And I would say about 50% of the time I end up paying him back. 50% of the time, I forget about it. If he brings it up again, you know, I'll try to do it. But it gets sticky, you know. When it's a large sum that, hey, my house is in foreclosure, I need to borrow $5,000. Okay, that's the sum of money that you at that point say, all right, but you're going to pay me in this amount of time in this installments. When it becomes a thing where over a course of time, small amounts of money have been loaned, it gets very difficult. And so what I would say personally, and this is really just my personal view.
Right.
I don't have a biblical stance for this. There's not really a biblical stance either way for this. I guess forgiveness, there's always biblical stance for. But what I would say is the ideal situation would be to forgive the debt, but let her know, look, I'm happy to continue mentoring your son. I'm happy to continue helping with school. But I'm not going to loan you small amounts of money. You know, next time, you don't even have to say it. Next time she asks for gas money or something, say, no, I'm sorry, I can't do that. You know, we had a conversation before where you said that you didn't owe me money. So the most simple thing for me to do is not going to be to give you money for gas and all these other things because, you know, you've shown me that that's something that you're not borrowing. You're taking
right.
it. So I would just cut that off at this point. But as far as trying to collect those small increments of money into one lump sum, it gets difficult. And it becomes a very hard thing to do while maintaining your conscience and you know, staying right before the Lord. So I would just say at that point, that debt, personally in my life, I would forgive that debt and then make proper
plans
going forward.
Not to say that it doesn't suck.
Yeah.
Dude, I had a situation. I mean, I feel the same way. It doesn't matter, you know, $20 or $1,000. I have a dear friend who I sold a jersey to, and dude still owes me like $20. And I
no,
don't think
I
I'll
paid
ever
you
see
that
it.
Money.
I don't think
I paid you that
I
money.
I wasn't even talking about you.
You were talking
How
about
do you
me.
Know?
Because I know.
You're a liar. You
I'm
sold me $20.
I don't.
So, hey.
I'm not bitter. I'm just kidding. No, but really.
So, hey, you sold a cow to some money?
I saw
an Angels jersey, a baseball jersey.
But being serious, I had a pickup truck, and a friend of mine needed a car. And I didn't have a job at the time. This was years ago. Didn't have a job at the time, lived relatively close to like everything so I could walk. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to sell you this truck. You know, it's what's it worth? Well, it's worth about a grand, but I don't have a grand. Can we make an agreement? So we wrote up an actual like contractual agreement that this dude was going to give me $200 every month for 5 months. And I was totally okay with that. And the first month I got $200. And then the second month, dude had my car. A friend of mine trusted him with this pickup. I was really brilliant enough to write over the title and everything to him, you know, after the first month. So he had everything. He had this truck. The $200, right on, cool. Well, the next month, oh, well, there were some issues. Oh, man, I'm sorry, I'm behind. At this point, he still owes me $800. Okay, you know what? Right on. Next month. Okay. I only ever saw $200 of the $1,000 that this guy owed me for the truck, and I finally had to say, you know what, man? Obviously, you needed this way more than I did, and I was in a place financially where it wasn't going to destroy me, and I just had to forgive that and say, you know what? Let's forget this. And I had to tear up this contract and say, this relationship was more important to me than me harboring bitterness over this cash.
Yeah.
Because it was destroying me. Because every time I saw this person, it was uncomfortable and it was like, you owe me money. And Proverbs says that the borrower is slave to the lender. And it's this awful relationship. This is why I hate credit cards. This is why I hate everything, because the borrower will always be slave to the lender. And so either you have to write this off and forgive and get over it, or take legal action on it, because that's a lot of cash. And you know what? It's going to be difficult. But if you can't truly let it go, you're going to harbor bitterness. It's going to take over. And this relationship that already sounds like it's kind of south is going to go really bad.
Yeah. But this is, I really would say forgiveness is the highest in the situation. You know, I just think of the parable that Jesus shared about the king who forgave a borrower a really large sum of money.
Right.
And then that borrower went to someone who owed him less money and threw that guy in jail for not paying him that small amount of money.
Yeah.
And so I think about this concept of forgiveness, and I think about even the Lord's Prayer, Lord, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And I think about this concept of forgiving these things. And just personally, you know, again, one large lump sum, if you gave this lady $5,000 at one point, because she was behind in a car payment or a house payment. That's something you collect on. But, you know, $20 over the course of, you know, a couple of years or something every month or whatever, that's something that when it gets taken to court, it looks very much like People's Court or Judge Judy. It looks like one of those cases, like, well, you know, here's these receipts and I've got this thing. And it looks very, the way it comes across, and I know it's not because it's significant money to you, but the way it comes across is it looks petty. Like really, you know, this is $20 every couple weeks for gas or whatever. That's the way it comes across, to an outside perspective. And so I would say, you know, you forgive that, but that doesn't mean you have to be stupid. You know, you can forgive that and then tell her, look, I'm going to forgive this debt because I believe it's the right thing to do, but I'm not going to loan you money anymore.
Right.
Because you've shown me over a course of time that that's not something you pay back. So I'm going to continue to mentor your son. I'm going to continue to help you with school for him or whatever you believe in your heart is the right thing to do. But then I would say, I'm not going to loan you money anymore because you've shown me that you're not a trustworthy individual to pay that debt back. And so, you know, it doesn't mean that forgiving doesn't mean you have to continue to foster that mentality within her, in her life of not paying that money back.
Does that help you out?
Okay, cool. Hey, I've already kind of felt a release just you talking to me. And awesome. By the way, yes, I do have a mustache.
Oh man, I didn't hear your voice before. I just went off. Now, I'll give you the honest truth. If I could grow a mustache, I would.
He really would, but he can't.
I tried to grow an ironic hipster mustache, and it just looked creepy.
Yeah, it does.
A little dirty.
True.
So
can I ask what your title is? What you do?
My title?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm the Upreach pastor here at Calvary of Albuquerque, and I also oversee our college ministry, and I'm involved with our multi-site campuses.
There you go.
Oh, cool. All right. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
God bless, man.
All right, 505-338-3700 is the phone number. I'm here with Pastor Nate Heitzig. It is Shock Therapy Live. We're bringing it back.
Yeah.
I'm excited. And if you miss any part of the show, you can podcast it, and we will re-air it this Sunday night, 7 p.m., during Static U, but we are live now in studio. The phone number is 505-338-3700. I was just kidding about the jersey, by the way. I know you really made me.
I know. Come on. You bring that up? I remember. Now I will say this. It took me like 2 months. It took me like 2 months to give you $20, but I finally did bring it in.
505-338-3700 is the phone number. You can also anonymously send us a question through the email systems. That's studio@mystaticradio.com.
So we've got a shockwave question here, so I'm not going to answer that because this isn't shockwave. It's shock therapy.
Oh, man, technicalities. Static!
Hey, guys.
What's up?
I had heard your message on cutting a while back.
Okay.
And it was something I didn't even know was a thing, you know? But it's something that I've done since I'm 30 now, but I've done it since I was, like, about 10.
Hmm.
And just like in times when I've been stressed out or something like that, until listening to the show, I never knew that it was like I said, a thing, you know?
Yeah,
right.
That I've always done, almost like comforting in a way, something weird. But me and my wife were listening to it, and we both kind of looked at each other like, that's an actual thing. So my question is, what's the deal with it? Is it like some sort of a sin or something?
Let me most first of all say it is a sin because it's harming the temple of the living God, and this we believe that this is a temple and it's to be used for God's glory, our bodies. And so when we purposely inflict harm on our body, we're in essence saying that this temple that God has given us, that this body which God has given us, isn't worth the price that He paid for it. So we're in essence saying that it's not good enough, or it's more or less. I guess you could say kind of spitting in the face of God, into what He's given us in this temple that He's given us. Now the concept behind cutting, it is a extremely common thing, and it's something that, over the past years has become more and more common. And the reason people do it, and I'm sure you can explain it in your own life, is that it's usually when they're going through something extremely hard and emotionally painful in their lives, and it's easier for them to cut or inflict harm on their body and feel that pain than to feel the pain on the inside. Because what happens is when they, for instance, cut their wrist or cut their leg or burn themselves, they immediately are focused on that pain physically. And so being focused focus on that pain physically, it becomes something where the emotional pain they're feeling inside goes to the background, and they're not thinking about it quite so much. Also, it becomes something that's extremely addictive, because you think about when you smash your finger with a hammer, you have endorphins that rush to your brain, and that sends a signal, and you get a high feeling just like you would doing drugs or even working out. Working out, you get that same thing, and so it becomes highly addictive. Generally, people who begin cutting will start doing it once a week or even once a month. And then that will transition to a couple times a week. Then that will transition to every day. Then that will transition to doing it several times a day throughout wherever they are. If they're at school, if they're at work, if they're at home. And it becomes something highly addictive. And I've seen people who have been cutting all their lives, and they have to wear long sleeve shirts because they have scars. And each scar tells a story about a different time in their life, a different thing. I have heard about girls who feel objectified by men, who feel like they've been used sexually, and they'll write things on their arm like slut, or they'll write things like prostitute, because they feel that that is who they have become, and so they inscribe that on their arms, and it's really a heartbreaking thing. There's a really great organization called To Write Love on Her Arms, mm-hmm. that helps people that go through this. And basically bring this concept that instead of writing hate and all this sadness and pain on our body, we need to write love on our body, because Jesus Christ died for our sins. And because of that, we can write love on our hearts, and we can write love on our bodies. And so it's a very serious thing. And the big thing that a lot of parents deal with is they get scared because this is something that's really only come around, or at least been visible, over the past 20 or so years. And so, a lot of people who are in their 50s or 60s see this, and they immediately associate it with just suicide, that this person's trying to kill themselves and they're just not being successful yet. Where they don't realize that for most people who cut, it's not them wanting to die, it's the only way that they can live, because they can't deal with the pain inside, and this is the only way that they can keep going. And it really is just like a drug for them. It's something they do, and they need to do it to get by each day, and it becomes addictive like a drug. And so we do believe it's wrong. We do believe it's a sin. We believe that when we go through pain and sadness in our lives, we need to cling to Jesus Christ and to the promises of His Word, rather than to anything in this world that can get us through each day, whether that's drugs or cutting or anything else. That we need to cling to the Lord, and so that's kind of my two cents on it. But do you have any more specific questions on it?
No, I mean, that's pretty much hitting the nail on the head of it for me, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, in fact, pretty recently me and my family have been going through some really crazy hardcore stuff, and I didn't even notice that I was actually doing it again. Necessarily, you know, like, it wasn't like a spontaneous, oh yeah, I need to start doing this, but I just started doing it again, and then heard your message on it a little bit, and it's been kind of something that I've been chewing on.
Yeah.
Since, you know? But I really appreciate the insight on it.
So do you have kids?
Yes.
Okay, and this is one good thing I always think of, and I as a parent of two kids myself, anything that I do in life, I always like to think how I would respond if my kids were doing it. And if I'm okay with my kids doing it, then I can find, you know, reason in myself to do it. So, you know, I just think through this concept of cutting, or I talk to parents and to moms who struggle with bulimia or anorexia, and my question is, if you found out your daughter was doing this, how would you respond? How would you feel?
Right.
Or if you found out your son was doing this, how would you feel? And so that's a big thing to think about and think through as well with cutting. If you found out that your kids were physically harming themselves because of things that were going on in their life, how would you respond to that? I know as a parent, I would respond, man, why didn't you come and talk to me? You know, I could have helped you. And we have to keep in mind that the Lord is our Heavenly Father, and when the Lord sees us harming ourselves, His response is, why don't you just come to me? All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest.
Right.
You know, the Lord wants to take our burdens and give us peace in exchange for the madness in our lives. And so when we're harming ourselves, I just imagine the Lord looks down and just says, why are you doing that? You know, I'm here for you. I want you to come to me. So I just encourage you to think through that and bring the burdens that you have in your life to the Lord and let God help you with those burdens.
All right, guys. Thank you.
All right, man.
Thanks for calling in, man. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You are listening to Shock Therapy Live. No, it is not Sunday night, but we're doing something new in 2013. Every single Wednesday, 9 a.m., taking over the airwaves. And open phone lines. If you have a question, if you would like to ask, it's not a theology show. This is a very personal show, obviously, as evidenced by the phone calls we've already received this morning.
It's good.
But the phone lines are open. I am joined by Pastor Nate Heitzig.
And also, if you have friends that work and they can't listen to the show on Wednesdays, keep in mind this is going to have an encore presentation every Sunday night at
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
Every Sunday night during Static U, we will re-air the show. You can get your questions in throughout the week. We will throw them in a folder and get to them every Wednesday at 9 a.m. So.
Yeah, but keep in mind, we always love answering the live questions before we answer email questions. So if you really want your question answered, carve out a little piece of your Wednesday morning and call in, because that's the ones that we love to answer
the
most.
There it is. We got the phone lines jammed right now, actually. Yeah. So let's take some phone calls. Static.
Shalom.
Hey.
What's up, guys?
How you doing, man?
What's up?
Well, I'm doing well. I remember the last time I talked to you guys. Well, first off, it's good to have you guys back on Shock Therapy. And I just want to know, is it a sin that I'm taking an hour off of work and not clocking out? No.
Yes.
No. The real question is, last time
kidding.
I talked to you guys, I wasn't going to church. I'm still not going to church. And I know that a verse in the Bible, you know, do not forsake the gathering of the saints. And but, you know.
No, but.
Listen, most of the time I feel like there's a few people that I can respect and love and that love me back more than the people at church, man. Because my experience in church is crazy. You know what I mean? Super crazy. I went through a home, like, it was Victory Outreach. And I went through a rehab home. You know, I was addicted to meth for 13 years. I mean, and you know, I got saved. I never knew Christ before that. And you know, my life has changed. You know, I'm no longer, you know, I'm not who I used to be. But just, there's something that happens to me when I try to go back to church and stuff, even other churches. It's just like, for some reason, my mind, it's just like, I see hypocrisy.
Right.
In people. And then, like, you know, they're just not genuine. They try to put on fronts and shows, and I can't deal with that, man. I really can't. I don't like that, man. If you're going to be you, and be real. Don't be fake. Don't put on a show for people that are around. Like, when I was going to church, we had a meeting one time, and the pastor was trying to tell us, okay, even if you're not, he's trying to tell us to go to the altar, even if we don't feel led by the Spirit.
Right.
He's like, no, you got to do it because other people will see it, and that's straight hypocrisy. That's being fake.
Yeah.
Other people will see it, and it'll lead them to want to do it. I'm like, dude, no. That's not how it works for me.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to let Steve-O take this, but I just want to throw one thing in really quick before I do. And that is that, number one, you need to find, more than anything about the people that are there, you need to find a church that teaches the Bible.
Right.
Now, once you've found that, there's going to be people there that are hypocrites. There's going to be people there that are sinners. And so you're going to fit right in.
Yeah.
Because,
I agree.
because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And I hear this excuse so many times. There's too many hypocrites at church. And I'm like, awesome. You're going to fit perfectly.
Yep.
Because we all sin. And we all, at some point in our lives, hide the sin in our lives. And church isn't for perfect people. Church is for broken people.
Yeah. And it's not a place to hide your sin, you know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, but at the same time, are you the person to judge them for the sin that's in their life?
No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like that's happening, though, because I gotta be honest. Poor boy, I love you, dude. I feel like we've grown and we've got a cool relationship through the airwaves, and so kind of gotten to know you over time. And I'm a little heartbroken that you're not back in church, because the truth is, this is something that hits very close to home for me because of my past as well. I have a history, and you know what? You could walk 18 feet and ask somebody, and I'm sure somebody could tell you about my past and about all of the dirt and the filth and the sin in my life. And here's the thing. I let that be my excuse. Like, you know what? They're just going to judge me, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and they're self-righteous. And in my heart, I was harboring bitterness. I was allowing that to control, like, my surroundings. I was completely emotional. And there were certain people I just didn't want to be around. Oh, you go to that church? Oh, I hate that church. And I had this horrible bitterness towards a specific church because I felt like they were judgmental, they were hypocrites, they were legalistic, they were just jerks. And I didn't want to have anything to do with the church if that was what the church was. But that's not what the church is, and that is a preconceived notion. And you have had some horrible, traumatic experiences in your past, but that's what it is, the past. And you are holding on to that hardcore, man. I can hear it. Like, you talking about the hypocrites and, oh, you don't understand, this happened. I do understand, because those things have happened to a lot of us. You know,
yeah.
Anybody that steps into a church, you're going to deal with idiots, because
yeah.
they're human beings. And we have all fallen short of God's glory. But you can't let that be your excuse why you are not growing, because when you're trying to fight this, when you're trying to go along this life without that fellowship, without that, I'll be honest, sometimes without those challenges, without that accountability, you're going to fail,
yeah.
man. And you need that in your life. And clinging to the past and clinging to those hurts is just as damaging, because it sounds like it's controlled you enough that you just don't. You don't want to go to church anymore. You don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Because
yeah, basically.
And so
yeah.
you got
to
let that go.
And here's the thing. The church is a place for God to speak to us personally, and it's a place for us to look at ourselves, not to look at others. And if you go into a church where you say people are hypocrites and people judge and all this other stuff, and you come into that church and you start looking at those hypocrites and calling them, oh, you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite, you're a hypocrite. Guess what? You're the same, exactly
well, yeah,
same.
All, yeah, we're all the
but,
same.
But then you're the exact same as they are.
Yeah.
And so the church isn't a place for us to go in and judge the church. The church is a place for us to go in and let the Lord judge our own lives and the Lord speaking to our own lives. So that's the mentality here. And we don't want to, you know, we don't want to be like the Pharisees and go into the church and
that's
be
exactly
calling out,
what I was
you know,
getting to.
Our job isn't to be the sin sniffers of a church.
Yeah.
Our job is to go in and find a church that teaches the Bible. And then look, you're not responsible for the hypocrites that are in that church. They're responsible for their own lives. And God's going to judge them as God sees fit. But you go to a place that teaches the Bible, a place that you can get fed. That's the big thing. You know, I hear people say, well, it's all about fellowship, and I don't get along with the people at that church, so why do I need to go if I'm not really getting fellowship? Look, if anything, the church is about finding a place that you can get fed and that you can grow in your walk with Christ. You know, it's not about having, like, a really good group of friends, and it's not about, you know, going and having a really awesome time. Now, you can find that at churches, and that's not bad,
right.
But it's, number one, about growing in your walk with God and getting fed. So that's the kind of church you need to find, a place that teaches the Bible verse by verse, a place that you can get fed, and a place that you can grow in your walk with Christ.
And there are some in Las Cruces. And if you have to travel to El Paso, I know of a couple in El Paso that are great too.
Oh, okay, now you're saying that teach the Bible verse by verse. What do you mean by that?
Well, you know, there's a lot of churches that just, like, teach whatever they want. They're like, this week we're going to teach how to be a good person. This week we're going to teach you how to have a good tomorrow and how to...
Topical and fun.
Yeah, and there's no substance. We want to find a church that teaches the Bible, that they do series, not series like, hey, the series that we're going to do for 10 weeks is called How to Be Happy. They're saying, hey, we're going to do a series for, you know, 25 weeks on the book of Romans and about what the Bible says through Paul's life. And, you know, we want to find a church that teaches the Bible,
right.
Verse by verse. You know,
yeah,
a lot of.
I've never been to a church like that.
Yeah. And there are some. And we can, I think there's actually, is there a Calvary in Las Cruces?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We will post information on Facebook. And I'm sure there's plenty of listeners in Las Cruces that are like, hey, come to our church.
Yeah.
Because I think last time we had this discussion, we had people chiming in from all over Las Cruces.
Yeah. It was like Sagebrush or something like that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know what, man? You gotta get plugged in somewhere. You really do. You gotta, because for as much as you want to hold on to that and let that be your excuse why you're not involved in church, all of the people in my life that I have that have that same excuse, because I have a few of those friends, they're like, I don't need it. I love Jesus and it's a personal relationship, so it's just me and him, so why do I need this? Those are the people that I get the phone calls the most from, like, hey, bro, I need prayer right now because I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to handle this. Hey, I found myself in this situation, and it's because they're by themselves. They're not growing. There's no accountability in their life, and you need that, man. You got to get plugged in. You got to get connected, and you got to let that go because, man, we all have some pretty shiesty stories of what happened with this pastor or with this person in leadership or this person saying this. But you know what, man? You've got to let that go. You've got to let that go because as long as you're harboring that bitterness, you are giving Satan a foothold to control that situation and say, you know what? Let's just keep feeding this bitterness right here. Let's just keep feeding this seed right here, and let's let him be that guy that just judges everybody from the outside and says, because in essence, here's what you're saying. I don't need church because I'm better than everybody there. Because everybody's just full of everybody's just a hypocrite, and I'm above that. I don't need that because they're a bunch of hypocrites, and all they're going to do is judge me because they're self-righteous and check out this sin and that sin and that sin and that sin because I'm better than that. And you're not, man. We are.
I know that 100%.
Yeah, and so check it out, Pool Boy. This is a thing. I hear you resonate with us, and I hear you listening to us.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
There's something about. There's something about, you know, being like a real person, a genuine person, and then there's something about a person just putting on a front.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
then there's somebody else at home, you know what I mean?
But let me ask you a question. Are you responsible for those people that are putting on a front?
Hold on.
Are you responsible for those people that put up a front?
No.
Who are you responsible for?
For myself, my family.
For yourself.
I'm telling you.
Okay. So, do you need to look at what Jesus Christ should be doing in other people's lives or what God's doing in your life?
Or in my life, but I'd love to see what they're doing in other people's lives.
But that's not. But that's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to see what God wants to do in your life. And so here's the concept, bro. You know, I hear you resonating with it, saying, "Yeah, you know, I understand that. You know, and I believe that." So, but here's the truth. The grace period's over. You know, you've called in a couple different times and asked about this question. You still haven't found a church to go to. So what's going to happen now is when you call in the future and you're dealing with an issue, the first question we're going to ask you is, "Hey, are you going to church?" We're going to say, "Hey, are you going to church?" And if you say no, we're going to say, "Okay, then we're not going to answer your question until you go to church."
You're such a jerk.
But we love you, man, and that's the point. You got to get connected. You got to get plugged in, and don't let that past be the excuse why you are not involved, why you are not helping someone. Because, man, yes, you're right. People need to be real, but there's also something. I wouldn't want to be at a church where everybody was like walking up to me like, "Bro, last night I was watching TV and there was this commercial with this chick, and let me tell you," and all of a sudden everybody's just always constantly focused on their filth and their sin and their disgustingness, because then you're just overburdened with everybody's crap all the time, and that's not a church I want to be at either. So what would you want? You know what I mean? Do you want everybody to wear like a sign that says like adulterer or like fornicator, or you know what I mean, like to where everybody just wears their sin on their sleeve? And it's because it almost sounds like then people would just be high-fiving like, "We're all sinners and there's nothing we can do," and that's not biblically sound either. So,
well, you know what, I think trying to at Calvary they teach verse by verse,
yeah, line by line, yeah,
yep,
and you recommend that?
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure.
All right, man.
All right, man.
We love you, man.
You get plugged into church. Next time you call us, we want to hear about what God's doing in your life through the Bible studies at church. All right, man?
All right, brother.
All right, buddy. Man. God bless.
All right, love you guys. Right.
Love you too, bro. Shock Therapy Live, it is happening now. We are here, and man.
Dude, it's been good. So I was kind of skeptical. Like, how's it going to be in the morning, 9 o'clock hour? We've gotten a lot of calls so far.
Yeah,
We've gotten...
there was a few we weren't able to get to. I apologize if... the phone lines are open now, 505-338-3700. If you don't get in right away, keep calling because they've been pretty jammed this whole time. So,
yeah. We've got an online question we can take, though, if we want to.
Yeah.
So we got a question through email from Andrea Boyle, and she says, "Before I was a Christian and was married, I had my son at the age of 19 years old.
Okay.
I never told the father that I was pregnant, but he knew because my sister told him. And his mom called and harassed me. My son is 9 now, and I recently dedicated my life to Jesus. My husband, who came into my son's life when he was about 4 years old, has been fathering my son for the last 5 years. My question is, now that I have dedicated my life to Jesus, do I have to contact my son's biological father to see if he wants to have a relationship with my son? The biological father has not attempted to try to have a relationship with my son, and I have not tried to contact him to see whether he wants to. I guess as a new Christian, I know I have been forgiven of my sins and accepted Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, but I am confused as to whether I am supposed to go back and fix past mistakes, especially since my son has a father now and that he loves and enjoys being with." Man, It's a great question. First of all, I just want to say I'm so excited that the Lord's done a work in your life and that you've given your life to Jesus Christ and that you're seeking to do the right thing now.
Right.
Now I will add this. When we become a Christian and we're forgiven of all of the sins of our past, that doesn't mean we have to go back and revisit every sin of our past and say, well, before I was a Christian, I did this sin and this sin and this sin, and go back to all of our sins of the past and say, okay, how can I write every one of those?
Right.
The concept of the Bible is that you can't write those sins. Jesus Christ can write those sins. And even you going back and trying to fix those things personally isn't going to forgive you any more of those sins that you've committed. Jesus Christ has fully forgiven them at the cross. Now, on the topic of this personally, because you're dealing with relationships between parents and kids, I would say the best thing to do would be to wait until your son asks. If he ever asks, hey, you know, who's my biological father? I want to meet him. I want to have a relationship with him. Then you pursue that and you seek that. But if he's not asking, if he's getting poured into by your husband currently, and there's an incredible father-son relationship there, and everything's going cohesively in the family, and your husband isn't, your previous husband isn't asking, to meet his son, I would say that there's no need to pursue that because that could bring up and stir up more junk inside their lives, than what needs to be brought up. Now if your son ever asks again, hey, I want to meet my father, don't deny him of that. Say, okay, right. I'll let you meet him, and you find him and you arrange that and you let that happen. But if there's nothing within the situation that is begging to be brought up, then don't bring it up.
I think a lot of times when people, I remember when I first gave my life to Christ, and that was my mentality too. It was like, oh man, when I was 17, I egged this house. I got to go back to that person and say, hey bro, remember like 9 years ago? I was the dude that threw those eggs at your window. You know, like, and there's this mentality where you're right, we have to go back because we want this further atonement type thing. Now, there are situations, obviously, where you do like we had a gentleman call Shock Therapy Live once who said, I became a Christian. I committed adultery before I was a Christian. I felt God leading me to tell my wife.
Yeah.
I told my wife, and then it did not go well for him. However, that was something where God specifically said, hey, bro, here it is. This is a past sin in your life that you need to write, you go do this. So I would also say, man, take it to the Lord, because if this is just like one of those things where I'm a new Christian and I want to go back and right every wrong, then no. But if there's some form of like, I feel like this is the right thing to do, I don't know. You know what I mean?
I would say like the situation's like, if the story is, but we're not hearing it,
right.
Okay, you know, I ran away with my son. I didn't tell this guy.
Right.
He doesn't even know where we are
because
I ran away and we're in hiding.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then maybe you seek him out because there's still wrong that you're living in. But if there's not a sin that you're living in right now by not having your son be in contact with his father, if there's not a sin being committed through that situation, then there's no reason for you to go and find him unless your son's asking.
There you go.
So I guess the question is, are you in sin right now because of the situation? If not, then there's no reason for you to bring it up unless your son, again, is asking for it to be brought up.
Booyah. So. All right. 505-338-3700 is the phone number. You're listening to Shock Therapy Live. It is back. We are doing this every single Wednesday at 9 a.m.
Yep.
And if you missed part of the show, we will re-air it Sunday nights at 7 p.m. Or, of course, you can podcast it because we do that too.
I'm not going to answer the question, but we did get a question that was asked to be asked off air. And someone who wants to come and talk to me on a Sunday or get counseling. I just want to say that if you need counseling, but you don't want to talk about it on air, but you just want some personal counseling for your life, the best thing to do is to give the church a call. Our number is 344-0880. Again, that's 344-0880. Ask to talk to Corrine, and I take counseling hours throughout the week. We also have a ton of other pastors on staff who would love to give you great biblical counseling. You can set up an appointment, and we'd be happy to meet with you. So that's the best bet, is to set up an appointment. Doing it in between the services on Calvary can be done, but there's a limited amount of time.
Right.
So your best bet is to call in and make an appointment. That's the best bet to get some quality biblical counseling.
All right, you're listening to Shock Therapy Live with myself and Pastor Nate Heitzig. Phone number is 505-338-3700. Hello, welcome to Shock Therapy Live.
Yeah, I was calling because I had gone through a pretty rough breakup a few months ago, and the girl that I was dating, she actually had brought me a lot closer to Christ. We had gone on a missions trip for Copper Point Church, and whenever we met there, I had only known her for, you know, a week or so, and then we ended up starting dating. And I grew closer to God through her. We were praying together and everything. And whenever we broke up, I just kind of like stopped going.
Hmm.
And I don't know really what my question would be, but I mean, I'm kind of standoffish about the whole going to church thing. I mean, I still go and everything, but I feel like I'm not getting the same message anymore.
Hmm.
So what kind of, I mean, what would I be able to do in order to bring that back into my life?
Man, well, this is the first thing that I would say is that if you were like really walking with God and you were really going to church before because you were going out with this girl, then you might have been getting something good out of it, but you were going for the wrong reasons because you weren't going because you genuinely, you know, wanted truth in your life, but you were going for this girl.
Yeah, you mentioned you went on a mission trip. Was that because of the girl, or you were already locked in and involved at church before you met this girl?
I had actually only been going to church for, 2 months maybe.
Okay.
And we ended up, I didn't even know her before we went on the missions trip. I met her on the missions trip.
Okay.
So you met her on the missions trip. So you were going to church, and you were involved in church before you went out with this girl.
Right.
Okay. So
briefly.
Okay, so you were involved in church, you were going to church, you went on this mission trip, you met this girl, you started dating, you got more involved in church, you broke up, you got less involved in church.
Right.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So I would say the most simple thing is get more involved in church. Not for a girl, not because there's any motive there, except for the motive that you want God to do something awesome in your life. And I think it's already testimony that when you were getting more involved in church before, God was building you up more and more. And so it really is just a simple choice. In the same way that I'm going to go to church because I like this girl, you go to church and you say, I'm going to go to church because I love God. So it's a simple choice of deciding that you're going to do it and then believing that God's going to speak to you and fill you up. And I hear you say that right now you go and you hear the message and they don't mean the same thing. And it reminds me of what the children of Israel said in Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, I believe it's in chapter 58, the children of Israel are complaining of spiritual dryness. And they say that they feel dry and that they feel like they're dry bones and that they have no passion and they have no joy that they once had in their relationship with God. And God's message to them is that if they want to be poured into, they have to pour themselves out. And I think a lot of times we can go to church, and be very selfish in the mentality that we have with Christ that, you know, I'm just going to go and I want God to pour into me and then I want to leave and I don't want to be involved. I don't want to do anything. I just want to whatever. I want to have that passion all the time without having to do anything for it. Where God's message is that if we want to get poured into, we have to satisfy the afflicted soul. We have to pour out to those who are spiritually thirsty and then God will pour into us. Mm. And that's the most surefire way, to get passionate about God is to see God use your life and your story to bless and help others.
And it sounds like you started to do that. You were getting involved. You went on a missions trip. And then you met a chick and in typical chick fashion or dude fashion, you then probably started to make it a little bit more about the girl.
What advice would you give to that, Steve?
Well, that's what I think of is the idea. You know, I grew up in a quote unquote Christian home, but I was always living on my mom's faith, not necessarily my own. And in high school, I was dating this girl and she, of course, was in church, you know, three times a week. So I was in church three times a week and it wasn't so that God would do something amazing in my life. It was solely because I wanted to be close to this girl. And oh, so there's this function tonight at church. Are you going to be there? Yes, cool. I'm going to be there too because I love God. But really, it was because there were warm fuzzies going on in my stomach and that's what I wanted to do. So I think the big question for you is, why were you getting so involved in church? Obviously, you were pouring out originally. You were excited. You went on this mission trip and then you met this girl and it almost feels like maybe the motivation shifted a little because, shortly thereafter, you say this relationship started to develop and then once it went away, it just doesn't feel the same. And so what were you pouring into? Was it your relationship with Christ or was it really to grow this relationship with the girl? You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
And I honestly do think that it was part of it was going because of the girl, but yeah. I also felt like I was getting a lot more out of the messages and things like that during that time.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure. It was just kind of weird because once we stopped dating, everything just
And I would say that's most simply because you were going because at first you were going because you wanted to please this girl and you wanted to deepen your relationship with this girl. And then in the process of going, God started speaking to you.
Yeah.
But again, the reason that you were going to the first place was to deepen this relationship with the girl. And so you need to come to a place now where you say, I'm going to church because I know that it's what I need and I know that God's going to speak to me. In the same way, and you ask, well, how do I know that? Well, because when you were going for the girl, God was speaking to you. So if you start going for the right reasons, how much more do you think God's going to speak to you?
Yeah, yeah. I also think maybe there's this mix, like you said, that you were going for the right reason, then maybe a little bit for the wrong reason, but kind of a good attitude. And so I don't know if you knew this, but breakups suck.
Yeah.
They hurt. They're damaging. They piss you off. They bring up a bunch of emotions that you don't want to have. And so maybe it's not necessarily so bad that it's like, man, my motivation for church was this chick. Maybe partially you had the right motivation and you really were growing in Christ. And then something really crappy happened in your life. And so that kind of sucks all the motivation out of everything. Cause I doubt it's just church that sucks. I'm pretty sure like movies don't have the same feeling, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so what you got to do, you just got to get past that, because breakups do suck.
Yeah.
They are damaging. They do kind of suck all the fun out of everything, but don't let that suck all the fun out of your relationship with Christ, because I promise that relationship is everlasting and he's never going to break up with you. So
yeah,
definitely.
And then talking about how to get that passion back and how to get that, I guess you could say, hold on one second, I'm going to sneeze.
Oh, God bless you.
Man, that's brutal. Man. So that verse, it's Isaiah 58, verses 10 through 11. And it says, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. So when we feel dry, when we feel afflicted, when we feel like we have nothing left, the Lord says the solution to that is to pour ourselves out more. And I know that sounds opposite, like, okay, if I'm feeling drained and I'm feeling like I have nothing left, the thing that I should do is to pour myself out more. And that's the Bible's answer, because as we pour ourselves out and as we begin to satisfy the afflicted soul, then God will begin to pour back into us.
Absolutely.
And so when we're in a time of drought, that's the best thing to do, is to give out more.
Yeah, because then I love one of my favorites, actually, because I have to constantly remember that, because when we're in a time of suck, when we're in a time of dryness, when we're in dealing with breakups right now, I'm assuming, but I'm willing to bet that's probably taking up a lot of your thought life right now, is the relationship, what changed, what happened, why did this fall apart? And so a lot of your focus right now is on those hurts. And when we are focused so much on God pouring into us, it's because we're selfish and we want God to do something in us. Me, me, me. I'm focused on my problems, my issues, things that suck in my life. But then when we begin to pour out into others, even if it's begrudgingly at first or with a poor attitude, you start pouring out into others, you start praying for others, you start building relationships with others, and you realize, man, this person is going through this, this person is dealing with this, and you start becoming selfless and pouring into somebody else, then you're not so focused on your hurts and the breakup. You're focused on somebody else's pain and how can I help this person? How can I restore this person?
Yeah, and the Christian life is often referred to as a walk. And so I would just say this. I want you to think about when you walk every day. You know, everyone walks every day. Imagine trying to walk with a purpose and with a passion as you were looking at your chest. So try to walk forward towards a destination while looking at yourself.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. You're going to run into walls. It's going to be funny for everyone to watch, but you're not going to get it anywhere.
Right.
So when we walk with passion and purpose, we have to look towards what we're walking towards. We have to look at the destination and walk directed towards that position. And so the same is true in our walks with God. If we're walking in our walk with Christ, looking at ourselves and looking at our problems, but not looking at Christ, then we're never going to walk with passion and purpose. Mm. We have to take our eyes off of ourselves, look at the destination ahead, look at the goal, and walk towards that goal.
Truth!
Awesome.
Right on, man.
That was perfect. Thank you, guys.
All right,
man. Have a great day.
God bless.
Bye.
You're listening to Shock Therapy Live with, I'm Steve-O. That's me.
And I'm Bo Cephas.
Or Pastor Nate.
Right. I forgot.
We're going to be here every single Wednesday. We are back. We will not go away. Right?
I don't know. I might just up and leave.
Okay, cool.
I can't promise anything.
There you go. We will do this every single Wednesday. If you missed part of the show, you can podcast us at mystaticradio.com. Or, of course, every Sunday night, Static U. It is 6 to midnight. We do this awesome teaching fun, I don't know, fun time. It's our theological serious time. We will re-air this program every Sunday night at 7 p.m., but live now in studio. We'll take your questions throughout the week and just kind of store them and prepare them for Wednesday morning.
Now, Steve, you had said before this show that you wanted to sing a song for everybody.
I did.
What song was that you wanted to sing?
Rock Lobster by the B-52s.
Go.
All right. No,
oh,
I don't.
Oh, come on. Rock Lobster.
So, yeah, a few minutes left. 505-338-3700. Or, of course, if you would like to email us, you can email us your anonymous questions. Make sure you say, hey, keep it anonymous. And then we'll go, oh, okay, this is anonymous.
I think we should start ending every Shock Therapy Live by singing mariachi music together.
Oh, okay.
I need to learn it, but we can sing it. We need to learn the mariachi music, then we can sing it together.
Dude, back in the day when I was first here and I didn't have enough jobs, unlike now where I have to do everything, one of my jobs, I helped with sound. Once I actually had to do this, I don't know, this fundraiser type thing out in like Las Lunas somewhere, and I was running sound with D's. Remember Brian Dwyer?
Yeah.
And we had to mic a mariachi band.
Hmm.
That was, I think I still have nightmares about it. That was pretty much the worst thing ever because there's so many things to mic. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd
share. Yeah. I have, whenever I sing Spanish songs or really any song for that reason, I have a tendency to just kind of make up words.
Uh-huh.
And so I just add my own words. So like when I sing that I song, it's always different words. I just make up stuff that rhymes and goes with it.
I know De Colores. De Colores. Something, 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 Maninero.
Yeah, you know that so good.
I know that so well.
So good. Man.
So that's it for us. We are out. We will see you guys next Wednesday, 9 a.m. Get your questions in. I promise you, we'll answer anything.
Dang straight, Lulong.
Studio at mystaticradio.com. If you missed any part of the show, we will definitely podcast it or catch it again on the re-air Sunday night at 7 p.m.
Yep. That ends it for us.
I'm
now
glad
you
we're
go
back.
Dance. Woo! Go dance, girl.
I'm going
dance.
To. All right. We'll see you guys later. Of course, Steve-O and Mitch tomorrow, 6 a.m. It's back. All that good stuff.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.